just as hard for them. In Jeremiah's deportation, the few, the man named O. Henry. It's a pretend story, but it's a pretty good story. It's about a young married couple that were very, very poor. The family only had two things of value. They had a pocket watch, like this one that I borrowed. That's what Jim had. It had been his grandfather's pocket watch, and then his dad's pocket watch, and it was his pocket watch. And that was something that they had that had some value to it. And the only other thing, at least as far as Jim was concerned, that they had of real value was Della's hair. Della had long, beautiful hair, and it was of value. The wig maker in the neighborhood really wanted to buy her hair to make a wig out of it, or to use it in his wig work. And yeah, that may seem odd to us, but hey, when people lose all their hair like Pam did, wigs are kind of nice now and then. You know, she was bald, and she, all those videos where Pam talked to us, she was wearing a wig and stuff. All right. Well, although this couple was very poor, they really, really loved each other a lot, and they wanted to give each other the best, best Christmas present they could think of. The only thing that would make Jim's pocket watch any better would be if Della bought him a chain for his pocket watch. And the only thing that Jim thought would make Della's hair look any prettier would be if he got her a pair of little hair comb thingies to put in her hair, and butterflies or something, I don't know. He had some in mind. So do you know what Jim did? He sold his pocket watch so he could buy his wife those cute little combs for her hair. But do you know what Della secretly did? She sold her hair and put a scarf on so she could buy a chain for his pocket watch. I may get all choked up. That's something. All right. So Christmas came and she's got this scarf on. Oh my, what have you done? And she gave him the chain, and he gave her the hair combs, which they couldn't use either of them right then, but they sure appreciated the sentiment. And that reminds me of the gifts of the Magi. The Magi gave really, really expensive gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And those were all high-ticket items. One of the best reasons to give the best gift you can is that you're thankful. I mean, you don't want to give gifts to impress people with how much money you've got or how generous they are. You want to give gifts because you like them. You're really thankful for them. You want to express your love to them. I'm thankful to Jesus for forgiving my sins. And today's story that I'm going to tell the adults, they're going to get a different story, is about 10 men who were healed by Jesus, and 9 of them weren't very thankful people. They just went about their business. Only one of them goes, "Oh, wow, I am cured," and rushed back to thank Jesus. So he fell on his feet and he thanked him so much. Almost like he was worshiping Jesus. I want to pray that you and all of us will have thankful hearts, that we will give thanks to God and everyone else that blesses and helps us. Let's pray. Father, I lift up these children. I lift up every one of us here, that we would not be like the thankless nine men, that we would be thankful and generous with our thankfulness, with our love. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So with thanksgiving, be thankful, okay? All right. So, I read about this guy. His name was Edward Spencer. And in 1860, he was a seminary student in Evanston, Illinois, on the banks of Lake Michigan. And a shipwrecked, and the water was cold. So I imagine it was a very cold, freezing cold, miserable, probably stormy night when this shipwrecked right near Evanston. And Edward rushed to the scene. The ship was near shore, but not close enough that they could just walk onto land. And time after time after time, he went into that freezing cold water. It was counted that he had personally saved, 17 or 18 people that would have been lost in the destruction of the ship. One place I read said 17, but the first place I read said 18. And you know, that water was so cold, and those 17 or 18 trips into the water to get people really was hard on his health. And his health was never the same. That was just too much hypothermia or whatever. Years later, when he died, and at his funeral, it was noted that of all those people he saved, not a single one of them took the time to somehow express, "Thank you for saving my life." Not a one, zero. Yeah, it's pretty sad. And I wonder, how could people do that? How can a man or a woman live such an entitled life that they don't feel any need to make an attempt to express, "Hey, thank you for what you did"? When thank you is due, perhaps those men and women, as I've labeled them, felt themselves entitled. Certainly many people today seem to be thankless people, appearing to feel entitled to whatever help and generosity we give them. And today we'll look at a story in the Bible where 9 out of 10 men were healed but did not take the time to express any thanks to Jesus. So it's in Luke chapter 17. I think I'll speak from down here today. It's in Luke chapter 17, and the story takes place as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. He's got a destiny with that cross. But Luke includes so many details of what he does on the way to Jerusalem that he has to say, as he does here in verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, little reminder, oh yeah, we're going to Jerusalem. Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was cleansed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. All right. For these men to be healed, let's think about this. For these men to be healed, a number of things had to happen. First of all, they had to recognize they needed healing. And these 10 men certainly were aware of their sickness. They were announcing, you know, they were staying out of the town. They weren't in the town. They were keeping separate. And, you know, they called to Jesus from a distance. Those were things you were supposed to do if you were a leper like they were. Now, I need some help here. Men and women today are living lives damaged by sin, sometimes devastated by sin. But until they get past their pride, until they get past their denial, get past their willfulness, God can't help them get any better. What else? They had to ask Jesus for help. When men first came down with leprosy, you know, they may have had resources at the time to go to doctors, but really at the time, there was nothing they could do if they really had leprosy. Their only hope then was healing by Jesus. It wasn't until Jesus came near they had a chance to get well. So they asked, you know, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. All of us, by the way, are sinners under the curse, under the law, until we ask for Jesus' forgiveness, for his help to be right with God. Have you done that? Have you asked for Jesus' forgiveness? His forgiveness doesn't help you at all if you don't ask for it. At the close of the service, there'll be a chance to receive Christ for forgiveness if you want it, if you need it. When asked for help and mercy, Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priests. And they went and were cleansed. Jesus, it's interesting, Jesus didn't instantly heal them like we'd seen him sometimes do with others. He gave them a task to demonstrate their faith by turning around, walking into town, finding the priest to get checked out, to get it certified that they were clean. But it's surprising to me that none of them said, no, that's too easy, or I can't do that because I'm not clean yet. Don't you understand? All of them went ahead and did exactly what Jesus said. They turned around and started walking to the priests. Today there are men and women who find God's plan of salvation, his free gift, as something too easy, and they reject it and look for something else so they can earn their salvation. It's kind of like that guy that had leprosy and came and was told to dip in the Jordan River 10 times or 7 times. And it's not a great river. We got better rivers back home. He wasn't going to do it till someone said, you know, if he'd given you a big test to do, you'd have done it. Give it a try. Go do what he said. You know, all 10 of these men had faith enough to go to the priest, and on their way they were healed, they were cleansed. They demonstrated their faith in Jesus by turning around and heading into town. Have you ever gone forward to an altar to pray? That used to be such a scary thing to me. Have you ever in any way demonstrated your faith in God? Well, they were cleansed and chose how to respond. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Wow. So the other 9, I bet they all recognized that they'd been healed. It wasn't that only the one guy realized it. No, they all did. I found a list of possible excuses, possible reasons why they didn't come back and thank Jesus. One of them, one waited to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if it would last. One said he would see Jesus later. One decided that he'd never had leprosy after all. One said he'd gotten well, he would have gotten well anyway. One gave glory to the priests. One said, oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. One said any rabbi could have done it. And one said, oh, I was already much improved anyway. So that was somebody's speculation. I would like to believe that I would like to believe that you would have been that one in ten that ran back to Jesus and bowed down to the ground and said, thank you. However, I'm such a do the right thing person. I can imagine where I would be. I would be, okay, I'm going to finish doing what he said to do, and then I'll go look for him. Now, I don't know about you. So, I would put duty, what you were told to do, over relationship. That's often important, but sometimes that's not the best choice. And we miss blessing we could have from Jesus. So what about you? Would you have been the one who gave thanks or one of the nine entitled thankless people? You know, with Thanksgiving this week, why thanks is a theme here. Now that you've heard the story, do you think you'd react any different in some similar situation? Would you give thanks for your blessings? And will you choose to give thanks as you celebrate Thanksgiving? If Jesus' response, we're not all ten cleansed, where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, some may object to Jesus, you know, talking about this man as a foreigner and stuff. And yet, in the Gospel of Luke, he makes the biggest effort to show that salvation wasn't just for the Jews. The blessings that God wanted to pour out were for everybody, not just the Jews. And the Jewish people that read Luke's account, Luke was more written to Gentiles, but the Jewish readers that read his account, I'm sure would have been shocked that the man who was the hero here with the best faith was one of those truly hated Samaritans. But character is not revealed, is not related to your race, your ethnicity, your skin tone. Character comes from your heart. This Samaritan was healed. Then he chose to be thankful, to thank Jesus with his head reverently bowed down in, by golly, an attitude of worship. Jesus sent him on his way with assurance that his faith in Jesus had made him well. I wonder if this man became a true follower of Jesus, like blind Bartimaeus. I wonder if more was healed in him than just his skin disease that day. A minister years ago was getting dinner in a crowded restaurant, or lunch. It was crowded, so someone asked, hey, could I join you at your table? All right. And the man approached. Yeah, can I join you at a Ironside, that was his name, H.A. Ironside. He invited the man to sit down. Then, as was his custom, Ironside bowed his head in prayer. When he opened his eyes, the other man said, "Do you have a headache?" "No, I don't have a headache," said Ironside. So then the man asked, "Is there something wrong with your food?" "No, I simply was thanking God, as I always do before I eat." And the man said, "Oh, you're one of those, are you? Well, I want you to know I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in." Ironside said, "Yes, you're just like my dog. That's what he does, too." Just starts right in. What a stinging rebuke for a thankless, self-made man. Before today, who would have been in the group of 10 people aware of their need and wanting healing? If you were healed, how would you have responded? And now that we've talked about it, about the problem with thankless hearts, do you have the courage to choose to be thankful and to do it? I'm going to close in prayer, but I thought today, let's stand up for the closing prayer. If you feel like, I meant to bring that bigger, closer anyway. If you feel like receiving Christ, you can do it where you stand. But the braver thing to do, the better thing to do, would be to come and publicly receive Christ this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word and the examples of people making good choices and bad choices that we can look at and learn from. And Lord, I pray that all of us would be more thankful in our attitude, in our choices, in our lives, and be thankful this week with Thanksgiving, probably friends and or family around. And if anyone here listening to the Holy Spirit needs to have you in their life and heart, I pray that where they are right now or up forward at the altar, that they would tell you in their heart that they're sorry for the bad things they've done, that they want to be forgiven, they want their heart to be healed, and to give their life to you. Lord, I pray that you would come in and help them to be bold and brave to tell others with thankfulness what you have done for them, even this day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, you are dismissed. Have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you.